week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in the U.S. city of Columbus, Ohio, where Vlatko Andonovski is off to a winning start as the new head coach of the world champion U.S. women's national soccer team. The American women defeated Sweden Thursday night 3-2 in an international friendly played in front of nearly 21,000 fans on a chilly night in Columbus. Carly Lloyd, a two-time FIFA World Player of the Year, wore the captain's armband for the USA, and Carly wore it with pride. She scored twice and now has 120 international goals in her career. Kristen Press scored the USA's other goal. Kristen now has 50 career goals, while Anna Anvegard scored two late goals for Sweden, ranked fifth in the world. It was the penultimate match of 2019 for the U.S. team, which lifted its fourth Women's World Cup trophy in July in France. The American women will now travel to the southern U.S. city of Jacksonville, Florida, for another friendly on Sunday against Costa Rica. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details about Vlatko Andonovski, victorious in his U.S. women's national team coaching debut. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Andonovski has some very big shoes to fill. He succeeds Jill Ellis, the most successful coach in U.S. women's national team history. Ellis officially stepped down from her post as head coach after leading Team USA to a second consecutive Women's World Cup title and riding the coattails of the team success. Andonovski says the first thing on his agenda is qualifying for the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games.
First and foremost, I know that the Olympic tournament is about a year away, but most importantly for us is before that is to qualify for the tournament, and that's going to be our first thing on the agenda. And we have a very experienced team. We have players that have been on the international stage. They've won big games, big tournaments. So we're going to rely heavily on them, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to expand the roster. It doesn't mean that we're not going to expand the pool and deepen the pool. We're going to look at new players, and at the end, the ones that perform the best at training, at game, will get a chance to be on the roster.
Andonovski has served as head coach in the National Women's Soccer League since 2013, a stint that included two championships in 2014 and 2015. He's just been named National Women's Soccer League's Coach of the Year for a second time. The first was in 2013. He leaves his post as coach of Reign FC for his new position, and Andonovski expressed his deep respect for the members of the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm very respectful of the drive, of the push that the players have. In fact, that's positive for me, because they will translate to the field. And I have no doubt in my mind, once they step on the field, that they're going to be focused on what is important at that time. Once they put the jersey on, they put everything else on the side, and they're focused on winning games. They've proved that in the past. And like I said, I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to do that in the future.
In January, the new head coach hopes to check off the first item on his agenda, qualifying for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. And that is all from me for now. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to the northwestern U.S. city of Seattle, Washington, where the Seattle Sounders will host Toronto FC Sunday in Major League Soccer's championship match. These teams are quite familiar with each other. This marks the third time in 4 years they played against each other in the MLS Cup final. In 2016, Seattle edged host Toronto on penalty kicks 5-4 after 120 minutes of scoreless football. And in 2017, playing at home again in Canada, Toronto topped Seattle 2-0 on goals by Jozy Altidore and Victor Vasquez. Now, Altidore's status for Sunday's final is very much up in the air because of a quadriceps injury. He told reporters Thursday that he's hoping to play some part in the game. Charlie Davies is a former striker in Major League Soccer who's now a league analyst. Charlie says partly because of the passionate supporters in Seattle, he's picking the Sounders to lift their second MLS Cup.
The Sounders fans, they play so well at home. And the partnership with Rui Diaz and Ladero, they're just so lethal. They can create those moments needed. I think they're more aggressive at times. When you see Joseph Martinez, it's almost like he's a lone soldier for that team. You know, being the guy who just getting behind. Sometimes Gressel was that guy, but Ladero is someone who can really control the game, the tempo. And then to expose a back line with Jordan Morris and Rui Diaz, I think that's the X factor in this final. So I got to go Seattle.
In African athletics, world champions Lelisa Desisa of Ethiopia and Ruth Chepngetich of Kenya have been named the male and female marathoners of the year by AIMS, the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with both Lelisa and Ruth earlier Friday ahead of the AIMS Awards dinner in Athens, Greece. Here's Andy.
Ruth Chepngetich is the women's world champion from Doha in the marathon, and another honor is coming her way in Athens, where we are now talking, and because Ruth is the Women's Best Marathon Runner of the Year award, awarded by the organization AIMS. Ruth, wonderful year. Just look back to that world title in the marathon in Doha. The start was at midnight. The conditions looked brutal. You are the winner of that race. Just give us an idea of how tough it was.
The condition was not good enough because of it was hot, but I tried my best.
Well, for someone like you to run 2:32 when your best is 2 hours, 17 minutes and 8 seconds, it shows how tough it was. It's been a really outstanding year for marathon performances, and we've had Bridget Koskei, another Kenyan, breaking the women's world record and running 2:14.04. Do you think other women like you will now say, well, if Bridget can do 2:14, we could do that or try to do that as well?
About Bridget's world record, it says that no human is limited like for Kipchoge. So even me, I'll try one day.
You mentioned Eliud Kipchoge, that 1:59.40 in Vienna, a special event, we know. It's not like a race, but it's a special event. Still a marvellous performance. Do you think there would be more events like that, kind of different to racing, but kind of staged events to see what one runner can do? Do you think that is part of the future for the road running?
Yeah. In future, I hope he will try to be recognized.
There's some talk now about shoes and how much a difference they can make. Do you think the shoes, because Eliud and Bridget Koskei were wearing the same kind of brand of shoes, is that a big advantage for elite runners, or is it really about talent?
About shoes, nothing I can say in that one, because somebody must work hard in training, all those things.
Well, Ruth Chepngetich, congratulations on winning the award and world champion that you are. Thank you very much, Ruth.
Thank you so much.
It's been a great year for Lelisa Desisa of Ethiopia, and now he's the AIMS Best Marathon Runner of the Year, that's men's category, award winner. And of course, that comes after becoming world champion in the marathon in Doha. Lelisa, did you expect at the start of the year to be now a world marathon champion?
For world championship, I did much training, including Olympic. Last 5 years ago, 2013, on Moscow, I missed by technique. because of that day is not, my feeling is no good. But when I training, I think about the world championship. When I see who won the world championship athletes, it is very good. It is a power of athlete. Also, not for the athlete, it is good for a new generation.
It's been a big year for the marathon, women's world record, and then, of course, not a men's world record, but sensational run by Eliud Kipchoge, breaking 2 hours in a special kind of run. I know you were involved in breaking two a couple of years ago, that attempt. How do you see the marathon going? Do you think more men are going to be able to break 2 hours, whether it's in a special event, as Eliud did, or in a more normal race?
That is a little bit difference. Normal races, you prepared yourself with coach and with partner training, and nobody is involved in that. But this race is, there is involved many team. For example, the pacemaker is also 42 as I heard. Although the running system is.
Do you think it's worth as much to break 2 hours in that kind of event as Eliud Kipchoge did, as breaking 2 hours in, say, a big city marathon, which is a race?
Yeah, it is. We will see as soon as the breaking it was in normal race. For example, Berlin will do that, their place.
Elisa de Sisa, congratulations on the award, Best Marathon Runner of the Year, and look forward to more racing from you in the future. Thank you, Elisa.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for those interviews with world champions Lalisa de Sisa of Ethiopia and Ruth Chepngetich of Kenya, the Ames Male and Female Marathon Runners of the Year for 2019. And Andy spoke with Lalisa and Ruth in Athens, Greece. Our big African sports story this week was the Springboks of South Africa winning their third Rugby World Cup title. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight package for 2019, we kick off with a report from VOA's Anita Powell in Johannesburg.
The victory Saturday by South Africa's rugby team was momentous, in more ways than one. The championship was the third world title for the Springboks, but the first time the team was led by a black captain, Siya Kolisi. His is an inspiring tale of triumph over the odds, from childhood in a poor black township to the head of South African rugby, traditionally a white-dominated sport. Longtime rugby fan Tando Makasi comes from Kolisi's hometown, Zwide. After watching the game at a Johannesburg bar Saturday, she says his life and leading the Springboks to victory are an inspiration.
I think it's a win overall. I think this tournament has just brought so much hope. I mean, South Africa, the year has been going, the change in presidency, the elections, and we come to this point where we really are rallying behind the box and we're one together, strong together, stronger together.
The win, many fans say, is reminiscent of the nation's 1995 Rugby World Cup triumph, when South Africa's first black president, Nelson Mandela, embraced the sport. South Africa ended the racist apartheid system in 1994. The next year, with racial tensions still fresh, Mandela walked onto the pitch, wearing a green and gold Springboks jersey to congratulate team captain Francois Pienaar. Their warm embrace showed this divided nation was on a path to racial reconciliation. In the crowds of rugby fans in Johannesburg, Nigel Ngwenya stands out. And not just because he plays rugby for the University of the Witwatersrand and weighs a solid 120 kilograms. Ngwenya is an England fan and wore their red jersey. But he gives the Springboks and Captain Kolisi their due.
They have that fighting spirit. They've got that never give up, never die spirit. Whatever you bring to the table, they try to catch up and actually do better, which they've been doing in the past games. Siya Kolisi, oh man, guy's coming from far. Guys coming from far, it's amazing. It's a shame I'm not supporting. I would have preferred him to play for England, but
28-year-old Springboks fan Madi Rahuma says rugby is more than just a game of kicks and passes. It's about the soul of this nation.
South Africa is not about color. Well, since 1994, we are just trying
eventually we're getting there, just to be South Africans. But one thing I love about sports, it always brings us all together. It doesn't matter where you're from, what you have, what you don't have. It's sports.
By the final whistle and a 32-12 victory for South Africa, even Ngwenya, the England supporter, was a changed fan, swapping his red jersey for Springbok green. It was only 80 minutes of play, but a new chapter in the Rainbow Nation's continuing story of hope and reconciliation. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Thanks, Anita. For more on South Africa's third Rugby World Cup championship, Iron Mike Mbonye called Cape Town, where he reached the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team, Bronson Weir.
So this is the third time we won the World Cup, but this is the first time that a black South African captain will be raising the cup. So this is a great thing for our nation and obviously an opportunity for other black and colored players to recognize that they can also lead their country.
How would you assess the game, the Springboks versus England in the final?
Yeah, obviously it was with England lost Sinclair early in the match, but it seems that England struggled in their scrums the whole match through. There was only one scrum that they actually pushed South Africa back, but otherwise South Africa dominated all the time. I think the tactic worked very well with regards to the six forwards on the bench and only two back in a dominant position. I must say that South Africa put a lot of pressure on England's set phase, and then also obviously the defence. South Africa's defence was so good that they only stood, I think that's about only six tries for this whole tournament, and that means that a lot of emphasis went on the defence. So my analysis on the game is that England couldn't get going because South Africa shut them down, and then obviously taking the game away with them with at the last few minutes, two great tries from the wingers over there.
The Springboks coach, Rassie Erasmus, is quoted as saying that this is the last time he will sit in that dugout as the coach. Does South Africa have a good replacement for him?
Well, yes, I think South Africa's plans is well in place. I think one of his assistants that's currently there will just step into that role and they'll continue on that road. Just remember that Rassie won't be stepping away completely from the rugby side of things because he'll still be in charge of all rugby in South Africa, so he'll still be in charge of that. So he'll obviously still have an influence on the national team, and I'm sure when it comes to World Cup time, he will step up.
South Africa has set the pace for other African countries. How do you see the game of rugby in the continent?
We need more support from Rugby Africa, and we need more, you know, we need more like relations with South Africa for that matter. So Africa, Rugby Africa needs to do more for teams that in the lower tiers like tier 3 and 4, which is Nigeria, Ghana, Ivory Coast, to name a few, to play more often to get to the higher league. The opportunities they're currently giving us are so limited, and so the big key thing is, yeah, once again, we need sponsorship. When Rugby Africa can't come to the front, we need our own funding to go and play abroad versus other teams. So that is the big thing that we need to get right as well in Nigeria rugby. And then obviously with South Africa, to start relationships here with them so we can send junior sides across to South Africa to come and play in competition so the boys can start preparing themselves from a young age and not at the age of 25, 26, because that's a bit too late. We need them to start developing at the age around about 13, 14 already.
What is the mood like at home since the Springboks beat England?
I think it's like Christmas again all over. The flags are out. The nation is embracing. They're embracing one another. The people are celebrating in the streets. On my way home, it was very difficult to get home because of the traffic and the jam. People jubilating and standing inside and celebrating outside of the cars.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson. We are the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Springboks of South Africa also scooped up some prizes at the World Rugby Awards, including Team of the Year. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Fresh off of lifting the Webb Ellis Cup for a third time, the new world champions hoisted the top three world rugby gongs at a glitzy award ceremony in Tokyo. Along with being named World Rugby Team of the Year, Springboks flanker Peter Steph Du Toit took home the World Player of the Year award for his outstanding performance in the World Cup tournament.
This is probably one of the best moments in my life. I think it's the two biggest experiences in rugby world you can get. So it's an unbelievable experience for me, and I couldn't be happier at the moment. Seeing what joy brings to other people, and in South Africa, we went through difficult stages in our country, and we still are. And when you just have strange people walking up to you and tell you, you give me hope and joy. So that motivated me a lot, and I've got three younger brothers as well. So they told me, you're living our dream, so I have to enjoy myself. And by seeing that, it's an unbelievable experience and a privilege for me.
And the 2019 Coach of the Year award went to Rossi Erasmus, who not only secured the Springboks their third World Cup title, he also led his team to their first rugby championship win since 2007.
Me coaching South Africa, we've got some challenges there, and the way our management, our assistant coaches and our players stood up this specific year with the challenges, I'm really, really proud to be South African.
Coach Erasmus took over the South African team in 2018 when the Springboks were ranked 7th in the world. Now the team is back to form and have reclaimed their position as number one. And Coach Erasmus was quick to point out team captain Sia Kolisi for his help in turning the team around.
We've been in camp for 133 days. I think Sia has been home for 3 days out of 136 days. He's been only home 3 days. So for us, this has been a long journey, and to keep belief and trust and not get frustrated with one another and keep the belief going. For me, it's significant that the boys, no matter what, they always kept South Africa above their own interests, above their own egos, and always kept the Springboks and South Africa's interest up there.
Sia Kolisi accepted the Team of the Year award on behalf of his squad and capped off what has been a stellar year for the Springboks.
We've been together this year for 20 weeks, and there hasn't been any bad moments. We've really enjoyed each other's companies. We've irritated each other a little bit, but it's been good irritation. And it was all worth it at the end of the day. We knew what we were fighting for, and the most important thing was just fighting for one another in the team, and it was really amazing. I've really been probably the best team I've ever been part of.
Congratulations to the world champion Springboks. And that is all from me. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Kudos to the Springboks lifting that trophy for a third time. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. VOA! I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see Springboks captain Sia Kolisi hoisting that Rugby World Cup trophy over his head. I got a feeling Sia might be holding it some more this weekend. The Springboks have more celebrations planned across South Africa as they celebrate their third Rugby World Cup title. And that wraps up the November 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a slum in Uganda and a poor neighborhood in the United States have something in common, chess. We'll explore how one man uses chess to create social change on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The World Health Organization says there have been more measles cases reported in the first 6 months of 2019 than in any year since 2006. Two new and separate studies provide evidence that, along with getting the highly infectious and dangerous disease, the measles virus can also wipe out the immune system's memory. The studies published in the journals Science and Science Immunology suggest the measles virus can destroy 11% to 73% of the antibodies created previously by the immune system to protect against different viral and bacterial infections. This means that immunity we had against diseases such as influenza, herpes virus, to bacteria that cause pneumonia and skin infections would be compromised. Researchers in both studies suggest their findings emphasize the importance of being vaccinated against the measles. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hi, my name is Larry London, and this week, Border Crossings will invite you to the world of Nile Rodgers. Nile Rodgers is one of the greatest producers and guitarists in the world of music. And this special show features the superstar songs such as Chic, David Bowie, Madonna, and Daft Punk. All of the songs are produced by the legendary Nile Rodgers. So don't miss this special program coming up this week at 1500 Universal, right here on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.